Om Shanti. When we think about not just willpower, but will, as the word is broken into two parts, so will and power of will. First of all, I think we have to understand what our will is. And will is very much close to the verb to want. That means that we really have to want something very deeply to move ourselves in that direction. And this is how, in fact, great things happen even in the Lokic world. People want to show something or do something or move something or prove something, and they put themselves behind that. And in fact, wanting is the basis of our motivation, and therefore we have the connection with focus. Because motivation, what moves us, is connected to motive, which is something that we want to achieve, or something, the reason for which we move. So the connection between focus and will, and again we go into it a little bit later, the power behind that, is in fact all around motive and motivation. So if we put a topic, motive, motivation, it becomes easier to understand than focus and willpower, at least in my opinion. And hands up those who have ever experienced a time in their Brahman lives when they've lost a little bit of enthusiasm. Let's be honest. Okay. So when you lose enthusiasm, it's because you've lost touch with the motive. In our meeting of national coordinators, somebody brought up a phrase that I liked a lot, in which they said that action is the laziness of the West. Not just the West, but action is a form of laziness. People become so much caught up in their activities that they don't want to look at themselves deeply and change why they're doing things, the reason for doing things. The motive is the reason for doing things. And we've got enough reasons for, you know, why do we come here? That's a very, very fundamental question. First question is, who am I? Second question is, why am I here? And if you forget who you are, you will also forget why you're here. So the deep question of moving ourselves and then connecting up with the powerhouse to make that move more effective, to generate more results, is to understand what is it that has brought me here. So I can't engage myself in the things at that deep level of the reason for being here, then I will definitely lose my enthusiasm from time to time. Baba has called each one of us, and I have to understand why. Why me? Why not somebody else? Why am I in this handful of multi-million times fortunate souls and not someone else? It's because I have some special contribution. Right? So, does everyone know what their special contribution is? Because that's where our will will be alive. Will is somehow related also to passion, you know. Am I passionately engaged in the things that Baba is showing me and the service that he's given me to do? Or am I just sort of floating along? It's a nice place, nice people, nice vibe, everything great. I may as well be here as anywhere else. That's not enough to keep you moving, you know. Nice gyan, very interesting. Nice concepts, you know, very clear. At least it's the clearest explanation I've ever heard. Yeah, that's not enough. So I have to know what is it that brings me here, you know. What's my special contribution? Daddy Janki last night, I was with the other Kumaras. Sometimes I think that even sounds like other Kumaras, right? Not just Ada Kumaras, but other Kumaras. And somebody asked the question, how do I know my speciality? And she told the story, and a lot of us have stories like that. When we come to Baba, when she came to Baba, she thought that her speciality was to sew clothes and to cook. And then probably a lot of BK, especially brothers, who still think that their speciality is to, you know, to fix a computer or to, you know, to help in the kitchen. And then she said, you know, if she thought that that was her speciality, probably until today Daddy Jenk is sewing and cooking. Maybe she wouldn't have even survived physically so long. But she discovered that her speciality is much deeper than that. That her speciality came out when she was put in a house with a very angry person. You know, everyone thought that she was very fragile, very delicate, very, very timid. And they put her in the house with the mothers instead of with the Kumaris, because in fact she is a mother. She did have a child at one stage. But there was one person in that house where Mama put her that was very, very sort of difficult to get on with, and they put her together with that person. Everyone was afraid of her. And so she started to develop qualities at a deeper level that helped her to face that difficult person, not only face that difficult person, but harmonize with her. And then, you know, as time went on, she was taking up the tasks that Baba and Drama were putting in front of her in a very open way, not closing herself off to a sort of a self-definition, right? I can only do this. I am only able to do this. I can only go so far. This is my limit. She didn't create any limits, and now we can see how far she's got and how many specialities Baba's been able to use in service, you know, especially the speciality of wisdom, right? And sharing wisdom. She's very, very wise, Daddy Janki. And maybe that's one of her greatest specialities, to share wisdom. But she didn't block herself off by defining herself as a sewer or a cooker, right? Or in our case, maybe in modern times, a toli maker or a computer operator or a video filmer. These are skills. Specialities are deeper things. And I found in myself that when the specialities that I have and I recognize in myself are not being used, my enthusiasm goes down. So it's very important to understand that second question, isn't it? To get us moving. Who am I? I'm a soul, I'm Baba's lovely child, I've been through a cycle of a lot of things, 84 births of things happening, and after 63 births of breaking my head and searching for God, I finally arrived at God's doorstep and I've come in to His place. But what am I doing here? Why me? How come I arrived and so many millions of others didn't? What is it that I have specially? Because Baba didn't call us here to be passive receptors of his knowledge, did he? He called us here because he feels that we have to be his instruments in bringing about the change, because he can't do it himself. He needs us, just as we need him. He's the source of our power, but we're the ones that reveal him in this world and make the cycle change. He's the source of our knowledge. So it's very important to understand, what is it that is engaging me here? Okay, and if that is not understood, it's very difficult to keep the will to go on. And of course, if you don't have the will, you won't have the willpower either. You've got to want it. You've got to want it with all your heart. Because wanting has been the source of our misery. Desires. I want this, I want that, and I want this. Now, I have to want one thing. I have to want to be pure. I have to want to be elevated. I have to want to be worthy of the things that Baba has given me in trust. I have to want it. Because if I don't want it, other wants will start to come up. And it's very easy. You know? Probably you've all had the experience of the loose hose syndrome, right? When you don't know what you want, but you want something, and you're very capable, but you don't know what it is that you want. So you get, you know, the loose hose. You've ever seen a water hose turned on and nobody's holding it? What happens? It goes all over the place. So especially when we're younger, that's how our minds work, you know. Like we want one thing at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and 10 o'clock, and 12 o'clock, and at the end of the afternoon another thing, and then by nightfall we want a different thing altogether, and the next day is all sorts of wants. So we run after what we want, and we forget what we really need. Yeah. So if I know what I truly want, and this is the part of focus, I have to be focused on something that I know is the most elevated thing, that is most desirable in terms of the stage. It's the thing that will most contribute to my elevated future, and it's in front of me, and it's very clear that that's my aim, and that's where I'm going, that's where I have to focus my energies and attentions. And I want it with all of my heart, then. You see, inside of us, inner conflict is between wanting and knowing. So I know something that I don't want to know, or I want something that I know that I shouldn't want. Yeah? Emotion is very much a part of wanting. That's why I use the word passion, because it's a heart engagement. The power is the intellect. And the wanting is the heart, so it's both things together. You can't have willpower just on the basis of the intellect. The power has to be behind the will, and the will is the heart. What I want. Yeah? So, if that's not engaged, you know, it's a very interesting intellectual exercise. Even meditation. When I meditate, I've got to want the results of the meditation. I've got to want to be elevated. I have to want to be pure. Otherwise, I won't get there. You never get anywhere that you don't want. In fact, wherever you are, it's because you've wanted it. Even if you're in a difficult situation, you've wanted yourself into it. Understand? I wanted to do it, and that's what it happened. You know. Then afterwards, I thought it wasn't such a good idea. All right. Look at the world. Everyone is exactly where they want to be. Even because their wanting has become out of control. Yeah? They don't like it, but they've thought about it, they've decided, they've wanted, and I wanted to get married, I wanted to have children, I wanted to study, I wanted to get that job, I wanted to go and live in that place, and now suddenly everything's not so good, right? But people thought about it. And that's where they are. Karma has works like that. So I've got to want the results that Baba offers. Otherwise I won't get them. In fact, that's the way we can conquer our desires. Not by having no desires, but by having one desire. That occupies the whole of our heart. And there's no space for anything else. So, you know, if I know what I want, and I want what I know, and I know what is true, then I can be happy, right? When I want what I don't know, or I know what I don't want, it's like being frustrated, yeah? It's like a recipe for frustration. Or I want things that I know that I shouldn't want. Or I know things that I don't want to know, as I said. You know, these are things that are very deep, you know? So what is it that moves us? You know, in the world, they think the motivation is like a system of incentives, you know. So at work, they dangle, you know, there's a good salary in front of our nose and promotions and fringe benefits and, you know, good working conditions. And of course, it's very paternalistic approach, isn't it? That you know, you're a donkey. Who wouldn't move otherwise unless there's something, an incentive? And it's like a carrot before the nose of the donkey. And of course, they do realize after some time that that's not motivation. You know, it's nice to have a good salary. It's nice to get a promotion. It's nice to have good working conditions. It's nice when somebody acknowledges us, right? Somebody recognizes our worth and, you know, even in the center, right? The sister in charge says, oh, you did well. And, you know, you feel, suddenly you grow about 6 inches. That was a good tolly you made. You know, that was a very good lecture you gave the other day. Even, for example, you may be having some confusion inside, you know, maybe your self-esteem is not so high, and somebody comes to you and asks for advice, at that moment, suddenly, oh yes, I know, what do you want to know? You immediately change, right? Because somebody's recognizing that you have something to offer. But if we depend on those external sort of carrots to move ourselves, doesn't work. You've got to move yourself from within yourself. And then it doesn't matter if people praise you or defame you, right? The system in the world is praise and defamation, right? And many of the relationships that are set up is like two balloons, okay? I'll inflate you if you inflate me. right? I'll help your ego if you help mine. Many relationships are formed on that basis, but it's false, right? The only true thing is when it comes from a deep understanding of reality, a deep understanding of the self. Then it's real, you know. And above all, Baba wants us to be real, you know. It's not real, for example, last night somebody said how to do Mansa Seva. And the idea that we have a Mansa Seva, okay, we've got to sit together and send out vibration somewhere. Yeah, can be. But if you've had 23.5 hours of useless thoughts during that day, that half hour that you've put aside to meditate, it's not going to be any different from the 23.5 hours previously. Or a little bit different maybe. But there won't be any power. You can't be an angel just through a meditation commentary. You know what I mean? It has to be your stage that's doing it. And a stage has these two parts to it. The will and the power. It has to be ignited by focus. It has to be ignited by having very clear what our aim and object is. And not only that, very clear that I am able to get there. It's not someone else, it's me. That's my aim and object. It's not the aim and object of everyone. It's my aim and it's not the Baba, is it? It's my Baba. Yeah? It has to be very personal to work. So when Baba talks in the mula, he's talking to whom? Huh? He's talking to me. And I'm not thinking, God, that's a good point for that brother who really, you know, messed up yesterday. An incredible point for that sister who screamed at me yesterday, you know. Who is present in the Murli? Huh? Me and Baba. Don't see anyone else, right? That's how we can enjoy Shantivan also. Even there are 20,000 here. There are just two, actually, right? Murli of two. Baba is talking to me. And I'm absorbing not just the words, but the meaning of the words. They have significance for me. And these are the things that keeps the will alive. Yeah? Baba gives power not only through meditation but through the meaning of the words that he says. Baba reveals himself not just in meditation but also in the Murlis, right? If we have want a clear indication of Baba's personality, we can see it in the Murlis very clearly. So, you know, if we have that power and it's igniting my specialities. As I said, you know, just to finish off, it's very important that will is somehow channeled through our specialities in service so that I become active and not passive. You know, it's very different from being passive, you know, taking in and accepting your lockic situation, let's say, okay, my job, my work, my center, and that's it. And then 20 years later, you're still there, sitting down. Maybe you haven't had enough experience to keep you there for 20 years. But we have to activate our specialities. And I think will has a lot to do with activating specialities. Because probably when the enthusiasm or the happiness goes down, it's because you haven't been able to express your specialities for any reason, or they're blocked also. I give you an example. Your speciality can be deep, and I'll give an example of a brother from one of the countries in South America who was not a regular soul, just like semi-Brahmin, if such a thing exists, coming now and then to the center, but not practicing even the principles. But he likes it. But if you look at his face, he is about 45 years old, but you look at his face, he looks like a young child, very sort of innocent. And even the sparkle in his eyes, you get the feeling, yeah, this person is very innocent. And he suffers a lot. Because maybe his real speciality is purity, let's say, innocence. But because he's not even practicing celibacy, he suffers. So it's possible that our speciality is nothing to do with our present behavior. But that's the reason why Baba wants us to be here. So that speciality at a deep level comes out. Maybe it gets expressed through schools like sewing and cooking and making tollies and fixing computers. Okay. But it's something much deeper. And unless that's activated, willpower, the power to express our specialities, I feel, is willpower. Because it's what I know that inspires me. Knowing inspires me, but inspires me to want with all my heart that objective. And the way I do it is through using the specialities. You know, the point of connection between Baba's call to us and our being here is not because we have a pretty face. You know, it's not because we're good speakers, perhaps. You know, I was a student activist, very proud of my English. And what does Baba do? He sent me to Brazil, where I can't speak a word. And when I learned to speak Portuguese, it's a very difficult language, I had to speak like a five-year-old, and everyone would laugh. So it's a very good lesson in humility, right? When I came to Baba, I was very proud of, you know, because I was very, you know, a student at the university, I was very much a leader at the university. And Baba talked about the young blood today, right? I was part of the young blood. But that's not the speciality. It's something deeper. Okay? So let's work out, and I'm sure Atam Bhai will clarify very much what our focus should be and is, and how each of us can personally converge towards that. So it's interesting, this word convergence, right? Because we all come from different angles, all of us, and we're all converging on the same thing. So there's some unity in that, but there's also the differences. But I have to engage myself personally in this process. Okay? So, Bhaiji?
Maybe before Atam Prakash starts, Bhaiji, you mentioned that, no? That for each one of us, we have to find out why I'm here, and what is the reason Baba wants me to be here, what is my special contribution. Okay, now just to give us a reference point, what if you would answer the question yourself, why are you here, and what do you think has been your special contribution. Because if you ask me, I say that you give good talks and good lectures, jokes, action and...
These are just skills.
Okay, so...
I think
speciality would be...
I have an advantage, and probably Atambai also does. Because we could meet Babdada many times personally. Personally, I must have met Baba maybe 70 times.
70 times.
but Atambai much more, right? Because in the early days, every single meeting in Baba would come every two, three days.
Yeah.
And we were just a few double foreigners. He would call us up and say something or the other, some short phrase or sometimes something longer. Sometimes 20 minutes he would spend with each one.
Yes,
can you imagine?
Yes.
And he would stay the whole night, you know. One night I remember he stayed until 10:30 the next morning.
Yes.
That was a little bit after Sukhdam was built.
Yeah.
Baba went to the side to look at the building. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Babdada, 10:30 in the morning, after staying the whole night.
Till 10:30.
Gets up. Walks over, has a look at Sukhdam, which had just been built by the side of Om Shanti Bhavan. Anyway, in one of those meetings, I was celebrating 10 years of Gyan. Some of you may know this book called New Beginnings, right? So I just finished writing it. And Baba got all of those, and there were a few of us who were celebrating 10 years in Gyan. And he said, to each one, he said what their speciality is. So when it came to my turn, he said, "You like knowledge, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." Haji. And then he started to say that I like to help others progress. That I had understood a secret, that my progress was absolutely dependent on helping others to progress. And I was doing that through knowledge. So after that I sort of could process it, and I could see my whole life. What I've loved the most is truth. And when I can't be true, and when I don't see, let's say, justice, it used to make me a little bit unhappy, you know. I want fairness, I want truth. So this love for truth and love for sharing what is true is what moves me. Okay?
Now, anyone has any question? Before we just switch over to... Because Ken will leave at 11:30, it's 11:20 now.
No, give me a chance to listen to Atambai
bit.
No.
So, Atambai, over to you.
If they would have any question. Ken Bhai is a very good example, inspirable example in front of us. What was the best blessing Baba had given you in that period when Baba was meeting with you? What was the best blessing?
Best blessing? So many. But there was one year that there was a very difficult soul who really made a lot of opposition, created a lot of obstacles for me. And I really felt that I was successful in not getting upset. Because the sort of provocation was, you know, was like a very big chance for me to get lost in.
BK.
Creating defamation that wasn't true, creating a lot of groups in opposition to me and things like that, and I was very tolerant and patient. And then after that year, we came to meet Baba the first time. And it's not exactly a blessing, but there's so much meaning in what Baba said. Because after the drishti, Baba said to me, thank you. And I knew what he was talking about. And I knew that he knew what it was all about. Right? So it was like saying, he said, you are the one that makes the impossible possible.
Oh, good.
So.
Very good.
I felt very. When Baba says something like that, it's not a carrot in front of our nose. Yeah, I went about it. Anyway. But say something about the topic, Baiji. I want to listen a little bit before I have to leave.
Om Shanti.
Dil mein hai teri yaad, Baba, jigar mein tera pyaar.